Welcome back to Home Design Chat with Nancy, and I am your host, Nancy Hugo. If you're remodeling or building a new home, you don't want to miss these podcasts. Well, today is March 24th. Now, last week, we did a podcast with Megan Blau, and I'm excited to say that she's back again. Last week, we talked generally about barrier-free designs, but this time, we're going to specialize in a room that is very popular with everybody. Megan, thank you so much for joining me again today.
Yeah, thank you for having me again, Nancy.
Well, I'm excited that we're going to talk about kitchens because that's my favorite room in the house, or my second favorite. But you have a plethora of information about barrier-free kitchens, which is going to be helpful to everybody. But we do want to point out that we talked last week about maybe challenges for people in wheelchairs, but there are a lot of challenges out there, right?
Yeah, correct.
You could have walkers, you could be blind, you could be short, and that's a common problem because I experience that all the time. So today, you're going to share with us all of the ideas for barrier-free kitchen design. So where should we start? Should we start with the countertop heights?
Yeah, we can start with the countertop heights and kitchens because I feel like that is the one of the most fundamental elements that you have to decide on before you start building out other parts of your kitchen. So, Nancy, like you were saying last week, we talked more generally about barrier-free design. I am a wheelchair user myself, and so I have that perspective, and our client base is mostly people with disabilities or aging in place or anybody with some kind of accessibility need or concern or just foresight into the future. So we have a lot of different requests when it comes to anything in the kitchen, and countertop heights are no exception to that. So typically countertop heights are anywhere between 34 to 36 inches. I would say those are like standard countertop heights. And those can work for people with disabilities. I think there's a lot of assumptions that people make that, okay, you're designing for an accessible kitchen, everything needs to be lowered, and that might not be the case. So for example, someone who uses a power chair is going to have different needs than somebody who uses a manual chair or a walker, or like you were saying, Nancy, someone who's short.
Right.
So it's not so much of a blanket, like let's just make everything 32 to 34 inches tall. So that's why I like to start with countertop heights. So like I said, for somebody who uses a power chair, I've typically found that a 36-inch countertop height is a really ideal height for people, even as a workstation. Power chairs usually sit taller than manual chairs, and they also have a lot more equipment attached to them. They have higher armrests. They have joysticks to be accounted for. So having enough clearance and making that be 36 inches is important. So if you're designing a kitchen for someone who knows down the line they're going to use a power chair, a 36-inch height might be good for them. If you're designing a kitchen for somebody who uses a manual chair or a walker, I would say the general area is of the kitchen, the workspace being 34 inches is fine. But what I would add is a lowered area for prep, for chopping, for, you know, other levels of workspace at a table height of 30 to like 32 inches. Mm-hmm. And that just has a lot less strain on people's arms and shoulders while they're prepping their food. But you can have like the perimeter of your kitchen still be that 34 inches to mm-hmm. accommodate for able-bodied people or taller yeah. people.
Well, standard is 36 above the floor, and that would be the top of the countertop to the floor. There are a couple of things that you run into if you lower your countertop where you're going to have your dishwasher. But we're going to talk about appliances later because there are problems that could be solved with that. But so we talk about designing for people. Don't we do it as a custom kitchen for whoever's using it? So whatever is good for them, we'll do it. There are, mm-hmm. I did a kitchen for somebody who was 5'10". So she has to have the countertops raised higher than normal. So the whole idea is we design for the end user, or we design for the homeowner or the person who is going to be using the kitchen and they have a challenge, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I also think that most often you're going to have multiple people living in a home, whether it's a family or a couple or someone who has a caregiver. So making a kitchen, especially the very common space, accessible to all people who are going to be utilizing the kitchen is really important. So, you know, my example, I use a wheelchair, my husband's 6'4". So if I were to lower my countertops to 32 to 34 inches and my husband is 6'4", like he's gonna, you know, he would have to use a chair to use it. I feel like having different heights, different varying heights, if you have very big disparities between what workspaces would be usable for people, is a really good way to address those issues. And there's a lot of really cool and really beautiful ways to have varying countertop heights and not make it look weird or awkward. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we call that the universal design, because that will accommodate everybody in the household, whether you're a 6-year-old or you're elderly or you're normal age. What is normal age anyway? Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah. But 3-4 generations. So it's good to say, okay, anybody living in the house, and that's why we are designers, because anybody who living in the house has challenges no matter who you are. So we try to accommodate everybody's challenges. While we're talking about countertops, let's talk about the walkway between islands when you have either a motorized chair or a wheelchair. What is the space between the island and the perimeter cabinets?
Yeah, I like to have 48 inches. I know that can sound like a lot, but it's not. I think that the more space, well, maybe not the more space, the better, but if it really depends on your kitchen layout, but having at least 48 inches so that somebody can be on one side or the perimeter of the cabinetry working, and someone can be utilizing the island, whether they're in a chair or not. I think kitchen layout is very important when you're talking about barrier-free design. A lot of people with disabilities or aging, they're going to have a more limited range as far as work spacing. So, you know, you could have the best countertops, you could have the best appliances, what we're going to talk about, but you want to make sure that they can easily move between, you know, one side of the kitchen to the other. So, and that might be a shorter distance. So kind of exploring different kitchen layouts. I know the L-shaped kitchen with an island in the middle is a really popular layout right now, but maybe doing something with a peninsula instead of an island where you have more options to have a more open center might make more sense, so that you have more of a cooking station and then a washing station, and having some kind of solution for getting, you know, dirty dishes to the sink and clean dishes to the cupboards. Yeah, but I would say at least having that 48 inches, any less, it does feel a little crowded.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about appliances, because there are a lot of appliances that will solve the problems for the barrier-free kitchen. So my favorite, drawer appliances, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, you'll see a theme throughout this podcast. I love drawers. If I can use a drawer, I will use a drawer. There's actually one exception to that, and that is a drawer dishwasher. I don't really spec those. I don't think I've ever spec'd a drawer dishwasher. But what I have spec'd are drawer microwaves and drawer refrigerators. So having, if you have the space, they're really good options to have drawer appliances. And the reason why I actually don't like a drawer dishwasher is because the way that they're...
Oh, I was going to ask you about that,
Megan. Yeah. I know. I think that would probably surprise a lot of people, because I think the drawer dishwasher was made with accessibility in mind. I find them to be so deep and you can't really see down into them. And they're also quite small. And so I think having just a normal door hinged dishwasher with the pullouts, to me, that makes the most sense. I can like have people can access them the easiest. So I just think a drawer dishwasher might be a good time and place for maybe a very specific client or as a secondary dishwasher. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I just use, normal dishwashers, unless for some reason, which I've actually never had this happen either, but for some reason, if you wanted the sink area to have a lower countertop, then the drawer dishwasher could come in handy because you don't need that full height of a full dishwasher.
Right. Now, the typical dishwasher comes with two racks. So I've used that drawer dishwasher in, say, butler's pantries where they'll use it for glasses or light washing. But as you're talking, I'm picturing the drawer dishwasher, and you can actually put a working cabinet drawer above it so that your drawer dishwasher is lower. So it's actually much lower to the floor. I can see then looking into that dishwasher drawer would be easier for somebody. May hurt their back a little bit. So you have the option of taking that drawer dishwasher and maybe sandwiching it between 2 6-inch drawers, one on the top and one on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it is flexible. But there again,
it is flexible.
I don't use a lot of drawer dishwashers though. I agree.
Yeah, you know, I just find that dishwashers themselves are probably the most accessible appliance compared to everything else, you know, like a standard dishwasher. And so that's why I just don't really find myself using them that much, but I could see an application for them. And I think it's good to know that it is an option and it could be a really good solution for somebody or as a secondary dishwasher.
Hard job, like you're saying. And I have to state this, is to find out what the needs are of our clients. Now, you might find somebody who says, I don't really wash dishes, or I use paper plates or something, so it's not important to them. Or what are their needs and what are the challenges that we have to work around? So you and I have very important jobs, I would say, when we're working with clients who request the specialty items because of their needs. So let's move on to microwaves, my favorite appliance in a drawer.
Yeah. There's so many options of drawer microwaves, which is great. I think it's become a staple appliance in especially the luxury market of kitchens. And so I love a drawer microwave. I think having so many different options really gives you the range to be able to find the one with the features that you're looking for. Because a lot of the times when you're talking about accessibility, you're trying to find anything that will work for a barrier-free design plan, a lot of the times you have like one, maybe two options. And so you don't get like the pick of the litter like you typically would. A drawer microwave, almost every brand makes those now, which is fantastic. And they make them in convection and they make them in regular. And I think a lot of people have a misconception that they're hard to get into, but they slide open and you use it from the top down. I actually see that in comments a lot on social media. Is like, how am I supposed to bend over to get in the microwave? I'm like, oh no, it's not a microwave that opens with a hinge door. It has a slide out door.
In the old days, what we had. We only had that microwave. Yeah. And for people who couldn't reach it, I have put them in islands, but I raised it off the floor. But still, you had to bend over. And if you're not in a wheelchair, if you're not a petite person, we'll say, it's very difficult. So I do have to throw this out. So when the microwave in a drawer came out, I really liked it. So somebody said, well, you should enter a contest. Sharp actually sponsored a contest because they were the first ones to come out with it. And I did enter the contest and I did win first prize nationally. Ever since then, I love microwaves in a drawer. Now, when you think about the space saver over the range, that's not healthy for anybody. That's just an accident waiting to happen. And it's impossible for most people to see into the microwave when you put it over the range. So totally, I'm sure you agree with me. And then microwaves are just part of our lives. I very rarely meet people who don't use a microwave. So having it in the drawer is easier for a child, if that child is responsible enough to use a microwave and not put funny things in that microwave, but definitely it is my favorite, very favorite appliance in a drawer. So
yeah, I would probably agree.
Yeah. You know, when they first came out, I did put it in somebody's island because a lot of times, as you know, we're designing the kitchen and there's really no place for a microwave overhead or maybe attached to a wall cabinet. So these things actually solve the problems that a lot of kitchens have. So I like them. I do want to say one thing. There is a microwave that is voice activated. And you may not think that's important. I'm sure you do. But somebody made the comment, well, why would you want a talking microwave? And this lady was sitting right there and she said, well, my husband is blind and he now can use a microwave. So she was real excited mm-hmm. about that. So I think voice activated, you know, certain items, and we'll talk about plumbing later, but that definitely would help his challenge or her challenge, whoever has a challenge with sight. So
yeah, having those smart home features and appliances, I think is really important. And a lot of people, you're right, think it's just a luxury that we might not need, but it does actually solve a lot of problems for people who either physically have a hard time getting to an appliance, or they want to limit the amount of times they're getting up to get to an appliance, or for people with vision impairments mm-hmm. where it's hard to, you know, find the buttons or the dials. I mean, because a lot of appliances now have just gone to flat screens instead of textile knobs and buttons. So having the voice activation of, you know, Alexa, turn my oven on or preheat my oven and set a timer can be really beneficial and give people, like you're saying, give people that access that they wouldn't have had before.
Mm-hmm. Also, having the smart appliances where it's voice activated or having Alexa, if you have arthritis in your hands and it's hard to work knobs or maybe touch things in an exact place, the voice mm-hmm. commands are perfect for those situations. So let's move on to induction cooktops.
Yeah, it's kind of a tie for me between induction cooktops and drawer microwaves as far as my favorite appliance. I love induction cooktops. So I had a home previously than the one I live in currently, and we did an induction cooktop. I fell in love with it. The home we moved into had gas, and so we just automatically went for a gas range, and I miss my induction cooktop every day. And so when I have the opportunity, unless somebody is very, very pressed on having a gas range, I try to get them into an induction because, one, I think it's cleaner, it's safer, and easier to clean. And then, you know, the safety of that, of just, there's no risk of getting burned. I mean, with gas, you have to know that, like, it's an open flame, you know, and if you're shorter or in a wheelchair, whether it's a power chair or a manual chair, your face is close to that flame. And it's just, I don't know, it's not a good experience. And I think about it all the time when I cook. So that is a regret I have in my own personal life that I now, you know, that my clients get the benefit of me having both sides of that. So, but yeah, induction cooktops, they're amazing. I think that they cook just as well as gas. So if you're not, you know, if you're not a total chef, if you're not completely set on gas, I would definitely look into and consider induction cooktops.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the chefs are talking about induction being a lot better than gas. It's much cleaner and it's a quick on and off. Rather than, well, even with the gas, you know, your pot stays hot. Mm-hmm. Many years ago when induction first came out, I worked with a client whose son was a teenager and he didn't know the concept of heat and don't touch. So we went with induction. It's a safety issue for the elderly who maybe have dementia, their cognitivity is not the top of their game, or younger children who want to touch the top, or if they don't have the concept of heat and don't touch, it definitely comes in handy. I've used induction in probably the last 2 years. Everybody that has a kitchen that I've designed has induction. So it's really been a very popular item for everybody.
Yeah. And like you're saying, I mean, it's more than, you know, it permeates more people than you would think. People with cognitive issues, people maybe with autism, like you're saying, who the concept of not touching a hot stove, or this could also be a really great option for people with low vision so that they're not at risk if they accidentally put their hand on a hot stove, to be able to, you know, move pots and pans around and stir and things.
So the concept with induction, for people who don't understand, is that you have to use a pot or a pan that is magnetic. Now, I was just listening to somebody the other day who said, yeah, they've come out with a lot more cookware that's induction friendly that you can get at any store. Just make sure it's induction friendly. So there's no reason why people can't have the induction. I just had a customer say the other day, oh, does that mean I have to get new pots and pans? But why not? You're doing your kitchen.
Yeah, you probably well should get some.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You should probably, I mean, it's probably time to get new pots and pans if you're remodeling anyways. And you're right. You would be surprised. I feel like almost every new pot or pan I've looked at in the past 6 years has been induction friendly. So, yes.
But I also told this customer that, you know, you can fry anything in your pan on induction, but you can lay a piece of paper towel over the induction first or newspaper, then put your pan on top of that. You do your cooking and then you just throw your paper towel or your newspaper away. Easy cleanup. So that was one of the items that she really liked. I think it's a good idea. Less cleaning, less maintenance. You know, there's more time to do fun stuff. Okay. Do you want to mention that refrigerator turning the grates to the top? You want to mention that?
Yeah. So this is kind of a hack that I've learned actually from another person who built a house, and she's a friend of mine and she uses a wheelchair. And I didn't actually know that I could do this until I saw this years ago, but she has a column refrigerator freezer sub-zero, and they have return grates. So those return grates, you know, they get the air in and out, they circle things, that circulate things within the refrigerator. And typically they're at the bottom of the refrigerator. And she asked, is there a way to switch it so that we can put the grate at the top? Because they're probably like 6 or 8 inches, which means your entire refrigerator is about 6 or 8 inches off the ground, even more. And they were like, oh yeah, that's no problem. So instead of having your return register grates at the bottom, you can ask, if you're doing a built-in refrigerator freezer, you can ask your manufacturer or your designer to look into this and see if it's a possibility to put it at the top so that the refrigerator actually sat lower to the ground. And she's able to access like 95% of her refrigerator now, because I think that is a concern of a lot of people is, you know, I can't reach the top three shelves in my refrigerator, which I think for her, and she's a pretty petite person as it is, and she can reach everything but the top, which is a really, really good amount of real estate that she can utilize in her refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about it, when you're a petite person, as I do all the time, because I can't reach any of my wall cabinets, you can actually get refrigerators in drawers that are separate from your unit, mm-hmm. your 84-inch high unit. You can get refrigerator drawers. You can get just about anything in a drawer. But you can, if you really can't, and I shouldn't tell anybody, but I can't reach the top shelf of my refrigerator. So whatever's up there just stays there. But you can actually do all base appliances. That includes everything from refrigerators, an oven under your countertop, and do away with all the wall cabinets or anything tall. You know, that's the extreme, I guess. But I like that idea because then you can use the wall space for artwork, which I love.
Me as well.
Yes. Okay. You know what? I don't want to run out of time because we are talking about important things, but I do want to bring up Monogram's intelligent appliances. And you can run these appliances with their Smart HQ app or not. If you don't want to use the app and load it on your phone, you can also get smart appliances and they are automatically updated with recipes and a lot of other things. So it comes in handy to have smart appliances. But you can't get the app if you don't have the smart appliances. Well, you can, but it's not going to work on the appliances. But Monogram has everything from column refrigerators, freezers, wall ovens, microwaves in a drawer, cooktops, induction. And now they've come out with the induction range. That's an induction top with the oven below it. So check on monogram.com. Go to a showroom. Check out their appliances. If you're remodeling your kitchen or if you just need new appliances, go check out monogram.com. Well, you know what? We can't finish this podcast without talking about plumbing. Plumbing is important, right?
Yeah, very important. And there's a lot of technology in plumbing that's very cool. So I think a lot of people are familiar with the touchless and the touch activated plumbing. Usually those fixtures also have light indicators. So when the water is blue, or I'm sorry, when the water is cold, it'll have a blue light. And when the water gets warmer, it goes from pink and then red. So that there's an indicator if you're having some sensory difficulties and you can't really tell if the water's too hot or too cold, which is great. And then another feature with a lot of those fixtures as well is voice activated. So you can once again connect it to your Alexa, your Google Home, and say, you know, Alexa, dispense 1 gallon of water, and it'll do just that. So I think they're much more affordable now than they used to be. There's a lot of options, and I would actually, I mean, I'm not sponsored or anything, but Delta makes really, really good, smart plumbing fixtures. They're probably the best that I've seen so far.
I've seen a lot of good ones, and I think it's so important to have a plumbing in your house that's easy to use. Now, again, I'll bring up the arthritis problem. It's very hard for people with arthritis in their hands to start turning knobs, and we're always very cognizant of the fact that levers for the control, if you're not voice activated or if you're not touch activated, and you do have levers, not knobs, is the best thing for you. A single control on your faucet is great. But I know I've been putting in the touch activated faucets. Delta is also owned by Brizo. Both companies have wonderful faucets, beautiful, great finishes, and they work perfect. So I would suggest when you are doing your kitchen over, think of all these features. We do have time for one more item for the kitchen, but I want to talk about Studio 41 because they have all of the plumbing items that I specify in my remodels. Everything from shower doors to bath fixtures to kitchen plumbing. And they have one showroom in Scottsdale because that's the one I go to all the time, but they have 11 in Illinois. So if you don't live in Illinois and if you don't live in Scottsdale, you can always go onto their website and shop through their website, which is shopstudio41.com. That's the number 41. Don't spell it out. shopstudio41.com. You will be amazed at what they offer. So let's talk about how to make your everyday kitchen, where you're cooking all the time, easy for items like pantry things to be accessible. What do you do for that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a storage guru, I would say. I love good storage everywhere in the home, and especially the kitchen. I think it's the most important room to have the best storage. It's the one that everyone wants the most storage and the most usable storage. And so here's what I'm going to say again, drawers. I told you there's a theme. I would say all of your base cabinetry should be drawers as much as possible. I think it's important for everybody. I think it helps everybody, both from an accessibility standpoint for people with disabilities. And then I think it makes it more accessible for able-bodied people as well. And I'm seeing this trend a lot more, especially in the luxury kitchen space, which is great. And it looks beautiful. I think people have really caught on to the drawer solution instead of doors and having to crouch down and sift through everything, even with the pullout shelves that, you know, I feel like that was kind of step one was doors. And then it was doors with pullout shelves. And now everyone's like, no, skip all of that and go straight to a drawer.
Yeah. And with the companies that offer the accessories for the drawers, and they have tons of things that are usable. But the first thing years ago when I said, oh, we're going to do drawers in your kitchen, the first thing is, well, what about my glasses? What about my dishes? But as we know, Megan, they have things that you can put in your drawer, inserts to keep your dishes from flopping all over the place, glasses that will not be moving all over. There's everything conceivable, from doing dividers for your liquor storage or everything, can storage, utensils. You can have an accessory in every single drawer, right? And I'm sure you use all of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, pull-outs.
Yeah, I do. And Yeah, I absolutely do. And sometimes I don't. I mean, sometimes just an empty drawer and then without any dividers is completely fine. And I find that when you have a good drawer liner, things don't move around. So, yeah. But for some people and for some instances, yeah, I mean, there's an insert for everything, whether it's something that you kind of make yourself or your cabinetry person makes that as well. So, and as far as height, like I don't have any problem with heights on anything.
Yeah. So well, occasionally we'll do kitchens, and I'm sure where I'm working, or I'm actually talking about the both of us, we've been doing kitchens forever. And you can do a kitchen and the homeowner will not be sure what she's going to use the drawer for. So you can always add the inserts after.
Exactly.
That is ideal because a lot of people don't really know how they're going to set up their kitchen when it's time to move everything back into the kitchen that we've remodeled. So always think about that. Okay.
Yeah. And some other stored. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say one last thing because we're running out of time. Appliance garages. What do you do with those?
Yes. I love appliance garages. I love appliance garages. And I also love pantries. I think making your pantry accessible and usable is a really important task to do as a designer and for anyone who's designing their kitchen. And you can have multiple pantries in multiple different ways. I mean, you can have a closet pantry, you can have a built-in pantry, or you can have even just vertical cabinets that match the height of your ceiling or your refrigerator. And that can add a lot of usable storage as well. So I love pantries. I love appliance garages because I think we all have those, you know, appliances now, they're everywhere, and keeping them off the counter and out of sight is important, but also you need to be able to access them easily. So, and I find appliance garages are a really accessible feature for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, I'm just going to say those pantries are great. If you have the space for your kitchen, a walk-in, or if you're in a wheelchair, give yourself enough space to get in there. And you can have open areas under the countertop. You should put outlets above the countertop. You can do all your messy stuff in there. It's almost like a back kitchen or a back kitchen or a scullery. There's many names for it, but a lot more people are understanding that those are really important and fun for a kitchen. Do you have any last minute words? Because, you know, for those who haven't been listening, last week we talked about the general concept of barrier-free. Today, it's all about kitchens. Next week, it will be all about bathrooms. So you don't want to miss any of these podcasts. So, Megan, we got 2 minutes. What do you think? Have we covered everything?
Yeah, I want to say thank you again for having me on and being able to discuss this. I think having more accessible features implemented in homes, it just promotes longevity of homes, whether you are going to be in that home yourself for a long time or you end up selling it to somebody else. Having these features while you're in the design phase is really, really important. And then my last piece of advice is when you have an opportunity, of course, make it beautiful. Nancy, I know that you mentioned like not having wall cabinets because they can be really hard for people to access. And a lot of people are like, well, what do I do with my wall? That's a really great opportunity for tile, for maybe some decorative shelving or decorative lighting, or maybe we add some windows. So accessibility doesn't have to be ugly. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be boring. I think taking the opportunities it gives you and making it into something really, really beautiful is a fun challenge that people should start doing more.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Cause a lot of people have said, well, I don't want my kitchen or my bathroom or my house to look like it's institutional. And our job is to make it look as beautiful as possible and still be usable and to have fun in that space. I hope everybody enjoyed today's show. I know I did, and I know Megan did. So please subscribe on the platform that you're using to listen to these podcasts. And don't forget to share them with your friends. As I've said over and over, these are educational podcasts, and you should share them with people that might get hints before they design their kitchen, and they can always call us if they need help. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to my website, nancyhugo.com. And if you have any questions for me or for Megan, email me at nancy@nancyhugo.com. Megan, thanks a lot. I look forward to next week when we jump into the bathrooms.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you again. Stay safe and have a great day, everybody.